Welcome to the Hunting for Purpose podcast, the official podcast home for all human design manifestors. I'm your host, Holly Marie, a 4-6 splenic manifester, a certified human design teacher, and a manifester who is following her own creative urge to facilitate a thriving global community of aligned, powerful manifestors. Wherever you are at in your manifestor journey, or even if you are here just because you love a manifestor and you want to understand them a little bit more, this podcast is the place for you. Stick around for in-depth teaching, for real-life practical tips and understandings of the manifestor journey and how to become aligned and powerful and thriving as a manifestor. You are here for global impact. You are here to change the world. The time is now. The journey is yours. This podcast is your home. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Hunting for Purpose podcast. As I've been saying, we've got some cool guests lined up for 2024. We had a real theme to our guest lineup in 2023, where we were talking specifically to other human design teachers, getting their understanding of manifestors. It was a very like inform the manifestor about the manifestor kind of deal. And this year, of course, because I'm a manifestor, I wanted to go in a completely different direction and do a completely different thing. And now I'm just sort of handpicking people that I think are so fascinating to watch and so fascinating to engage with. And I don't know if any of you have ever noticed in listening to the podcast for 4 years, I think we're at now, over 170 something episodes, but we have never had an astrologer on the podcast. And that's been very reflective of my own journey in trying to find an astrologer that I just really think speaks the language in a beautiful fusion of kind of manifestor energy and astrology. And I am so thrilled to finally say we have an astrologer on the podcast today. And she is brilliant. She's absolutely brilliant. So we have the gorgeous Ocean Pleasant on the podcast today. You might know her from her Instagram account, Witchy Kid. Of course, she is a manifestor herself. She's a certified astrologer. She's a Forbes 30 Under 30 alumni. Basically, she's just really enthusiastic about decoding people's cosmic blueprint. So going from a history in startup to now working in spirituality, like so many of us have. And I dig her work in the world. I really, really dig it. And I'm certain that you guys are going to dig it too. So thank you for being here with us on the podcast, Ocean.
Oh my gosh. I am so honored to be your first astrologer, just first and foremost. I don't even think I knew that coming in. So I'm just blown away. I'm so happy to be here. And I'm obsessed with your work too. I think the fusion of astrology and human design, they're just two powerful tools. I think everyone should have them in their toolbox and they're deeply complementary. And I can't wait to explore that overlap today.
Oh my gosh, me too. So you're a 5-1 emotional manifestor. Yes. Mm-hmm. Love it. Powerful, incredibly. Like, let's take the most powerful elements of a design and just shove them together and see what happens. I would love to know about your journey down the rabbit hole of human design. How did that happen? How did you stumble into it? I assume you came from astrology first. Are you one of those like astrologer crossover into human design people?
Yes. So I was the kid pulling out all of the astrology books on the bookshelf in the store, just like laying on my stomach in the floor until the imprint of the bookstore carpet was carved into my stomach. I've been so enthusiastic about it for so many years. And then I began studying it professionally in 2019. And kind of around that time, I think human design started to enter more of the kind of larger zeitgeist of spiritual awareness. And so I started, you know, exploring it a bit more personally and, you know, taking note of the overlap and the similarities. And it's funny, you know, when I first looked it up and it said, well, you're the heretic, I was like, everyone else has these really like lovely descriptive words. And it's like, you're the heretic. It just cracked me up. I was like, of course. And so that was just such a funny introduction into this archetype. But Yeah, I think that they are truly complementary. I'm still on my own journey of exploring the overlap, but there are kind of questions in human design that astrology can answer and questions in astrology that human design can answer. So, playing in that liminal space has been really fun.
I love it. I think, a lot of people coming into human design understand that there's a significant astrological, sorry, influence in human design. I mean, it's one of the core tenets of human design, but there's so many more layers to play through than that. And I love how you just referenced that there are things in astrology that human design answers, and there are things in human design that astrology answers. And there is a really beautiful dance. I think when we can get out of dogma and that like linear thinking of, oh, I found a system that resonates with me, and so that is now my system. That's my language, and that's my thing, and that's my space for self-awareness. Actually, every single esoteric language that we have is able to give you access into yourself. They're all actually saying the same things. This is all about the self-awareness journey. As a human, that's all we're doing is trying to understand our human journey here. But they all do it in slightly different language, which is going to resonate with people in different ways. And so, my kind of philosophy on it has always been, if something appeals to me, if something takes my curiosity, then I'll play with it, and maybe I'll add parts of it to my toolkit. But it creates kind of a tapestry where then you can pull from different things, and you don't get caught into trying to make yourself fit a system, because even in human design, we can do that. And this is, as I'm talking, I'm realizing this is such a manifesto way to approach anything.
I love it. It's just like, a vessel. Whether you're in a Toyota or a Buick, both cars are going to get you where you need to go. You might have a personal preference of what vessel you occupy, what tool you use, what framework you primarily operate with. But to your point, it'd be ridiculous to refuse an Uber because it's not the car that you're used to driving in, right? Like it's a ride, it's a vessel. I think the more we can democratize and deconstruct the idea of there's only one framework or there's only one tool or this has more legitimacy than this is powerful. I think that's also the way of manifestors to dissolve those boundaries and just, whatever feels good, whatever can put a voice to what you're feeling is the right framework to be using. And you're going to rotate through them just as often as you change your wardrobe. So we might as well incorporate it,
Great. I love that. I love that so much. Yeah, I was one of those opposite people. I came into human design first, and then it started merging over to astrology. But in all honesty, I found very little resonance with astrology for several years. Even well before human design, I was like, I mean, I get it. There are some fun little things, but it's just, I don't know, it lacks depth to me. It doesn't really feel like it massively applies to me. And it was as I got further into human design that I started seeing that there was some aspects of nuance that human design perhaps didn't necessarily address. That human design is so good at this almost like masculine, like structured, layered approach of there's this area of your design, then this, then this, then this, then this. Whereas building astrology into that, for me at least, started to show me some of the more influential factors than when I was looking at, oh, but there's also this collective energy going on. How am I affected by that? And how am I even affected by that in a way that's different from the person sitting next to me? Because when we're moving into like this full moon, it's affecting me in this house, and that's why I'm feeling all of these things. But then I take it into my internal workings. And that's where my human design really comes into play. And so I've taken a really, really long time to really start to kind of grab hold of astrology. And what I have loved about your content is that it's like storytelling. It's so poetic. It's like it almost removes all the astrology language, which is what is hard to get into, right? Removing all of that, like this planet is conjunct to that one, and then we've got a square over here and a blah 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 blah, which is like, I don't get any of that. What does that mean? Placements in the sky, excellent. How does it affect me? What is it actually saying to me about me? And I love the way you represent that with so much artistry and this almost like beautiful individual application. Were you conscious about doing that, or is that just the way that you uniquely express everything?
I really appreciate that you've picked up on that because it's important to me, especially as someone who practices astrology full time. I have so many people come in for readings or classes and they don't speak the language, and that can be a barrier. It can also mean that people only interact with astrology in a quite simple or surface level way, which is not their fault. Who the hell knows what Neptune conjunct the sun in the sixth house means without studying it, right? But if we can say that you're deeply spiritual and you're here to build practices around your ability to discern the divine, that's a way of saying that aspect without using the lingo. So I take the responsibility of being a translator of the stars very seriously as a way to kind of do what you ultimately did on your own, which was find out that astrology is much more deeper and nuanced than just the sun sign in the Sunday Times and the horoscope that applies to 50 million other people. So I bring in the kind of the storytelling component as if, well, I should say one of my favorite quotes. It might have been Einstein, but I feel like he gets attributed to things that he didn't say.
They're not
He's
yours, Einstein. This is not
no.
yours.
I believe it was Einstein who said, if you cannot explain something to a child, then you do not understand it yourself. And so when it comes to these systems that are so complex and so nuanced, at the end of the day, the pursuit of mastery that I've been on and that I feel like I'm on a daily basis striving towards is how can I deconstruct the chart so that anyone can understand it and it not lose any of its depth, but actually amplify the way that you connect to it. So that is something I strive to do. If you want to learn the technical lingo and the odds and ends and the nuts and bolts, there's so many fabulous resources and more kind of analytical astrologers that give you all of the odds and ends. And there are outlets that I provide that as well. But I would say, on Witchy Kid, on the ways that people experience me, it's more storytelling. It's how do you make it digestible?
Yeah, it's such a beautiful example to me of that manifestor throat and the manifestor energy taking something that's already in existence and creating newness from it. And that's a big trip up for a lot of manifestors because the narrative that we get all the time is that you're here to create something new, never ever seen before. This is what manifestors do, create something new. And people can get very almost binary in their thinking about that. Like, but I can't go into whatever astrology, human design, numerology, somatics, breath work, whatever it is, because they already exist and a lot of people are talking about them. Like, you're going to speak about it in a completely new way, which is actually going to form an entire new lane. And if you can, I think it's not about consistency. I think it's about dedication. I think if you can dedicate yourself to your own authentic energetic representation of something as a manifestor, then you stay in something long enough to begin to see the ripple effects behind you, right? That you like pick up. For example, like when we created the manifestor community, well, when I created it, it was just me back then, but there was nothing like that in the human design space. Heaps and heaps of people talking about human design, but nobody that was doing dedicated energy type communities that hadn't been touched before, which inherently made it a risk, of course, because I was going to ostracize 91% of my audience in doing it. And I didn't know that that was going to be acceptable in a space like this. It could have completely failed. But over time, what I've been able to see is that there are now dedicated communities for every single energy type out there. We now have hundreds of projector communities. My God, projectors are so into having their own communities. All about being recognized, gotta say. And we've got generator communities, manifesting generator communities. We've got pure generators, which is, that kind of sacral community. We've got the projector movement. We've got projectors invited. We've got reflector reflections. Like we have reflector communities, multiple reflector communities. So I think that's really the beautiful aspect, just as a side tangent, of kind of having some longevity in your work as a manifester. That, yeah, we're different. And yeah, our energy goes up and down and we want to come in and out of things. But the pathways that we are creating by doing things differently genuinely do have a major influence on the whole dynamic working of the rest of the collective. And if you hang around long enough, you'll see it. And it feels really, really just grounding, I think, as a manifester.
I love that. And it speaks to the drive, the motivation. As you mentioned, it's more about your commitment to something than your consistency as a manifestor. And that's why I like to focus on Mars in the birth chart, especially as a manifestor. And that's also something you've shared as being a big focus for you as well, which I love that synergy between us because understanding, especially when you go into a rest cycle, as a manifestor, if you think of Mars as the engine of the birth chart, we are often the most disconnected from Mars when we're in our rest cycles, right? So in the absence of those periods where we lack consistency, but we are still committed to the larger vision, we just need that rest. Like, how do we, in the small ways, in the daily instances, continue to honor Mars as best we can, so that we can really like saturate ourselves in the rest cycles and then come out and drop right back into that motivation, into that engine. Kind of like in the winter, which you're in Australia, so you don't probably have this issue. But if you live somewhere where it snows, you have to start your car every day or the engine will die. And even if you don't plan to drive long distances, you go and you turn the key and you let the engine run, otherwise it'll freeze over. So it's kind of like that. Even if the car is staying parked in the driveway and you don't have any plans of traveling great distances, you don't have anywhere you need to go, you still have to start the car every day. So that's how we can work with Mars as manifestors.
Yeah, that's so good. Can you back up and give us like a 101, right? For anybody who's got like no knowledge really about astrology and what Mars in astrology actually is. Can you give us the basics of like what is Mars in astrology? Why is it significantly important to everybody? And how to find it? Who actually go to find it on your own chart?
Yeah, so we count the moon and Pluto, 10 planets total in astrology, and Mars is considered one of the personal planets. So, Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, these are the planets that really show up in our personality, how we move through the world, the archetypes that we express ourselves through. And so, Mars is divine masculine. I call it the engine of the birth chart because it is what drives us. It is the archetype of our motivations, what inspires us to take action, what we are drawn to. It also represents sex and libido because that same charge that we apply towards starting a business or running a marathon is also really what that is just universal attraction, what attracts us to put in effort. And so, whether it's in the bedroom or in the boardroom, Mars is present. So it's very easy to find. If you use any free birth chart calculator, it'll list out your planets and it'll tell you what sign Mars is in. I'm sure there's even dedicated calculators if you just Google Mars placement calculator. And so once you locate it and you know the sign and element, which we can go through together here, you can understand the nature with which you are astrologically motivated, how you take action. And when you are in a rest cycle as a manifestor, what parts of Mars you might become disconnected from, and where you can still find ways of tapping into the divine masculine, your initiator energy, even when you don't feel like initiating. So it's that delicate dance, right? Feeling like we're deconstructing the shame and societal pressure to be keeping up with everyone else when we are in rest cycles. And then simultaneously, taking a holistic approach to astrology is knowing that we are a sum of parts and we can't simply completely disconnect from one part of ourselves, but we can change the nature in which we relate to it. So all of that's just a big fancy way of saying it's what drives you. And when we don't feel driven, how do we continue to harness Mars?
Yes. What I love about that language is that you referenced Mars as the divine masculine. And that's one of the ways that I love to look at the overall energy cycle as manifestors. That if we were to kind of look at archetypally, we would say generally our creative cycles are when we're most in our masculine energy because we're initiating, we're producing, we're creating, we're pushing forward. And then typically our rest cycles are when we're in more of our feminine energy. It's when we're looking at our wounds, when we're learning to receive, when we're not producing. But the beauty of being these quirky, complex characters that we are is that we don't live in a neat little package of I'm in a creative cycle now, and then when it's done, I go into a rest cycle and then I come back into a creative cycle, even though that's how it's taught. That's a manifest. That's very rarely how it actually works for us. What we find is that there's a lot more bleed, there's a lot more blend over than that. And so you can be in a creative cycle and need to move into periods of rest while still in the creative cycle. You can have creative bursts while in the rest cycle. But what I love even more about the rest cycle, because that's most of the time, that's what we're in. Solid 80% of the time, we're resting. So what I found is that we just become unconscious of the ways that we're initiating when we're in rest. In creative, it's so conscious, so focused, it's so clear. But in our rest cycles, we generally are still initiating, but it's much more unconscious. We move into initiating on a relational level. We continue to initiate when we speak. We're very, very deeply initiating ourselves in a rest cycle. And so I love using that concept of Mars and applying it to that, right? Like we're not disconnected from our Mars energy when we're out of creative and in rest. It perhaps just takes on different qualities. And knowing what your Mars placement is can give you something to hold on to, right? Something tangible to grab and plant your feet on in order to make that movement forward, because the rest cycle can seem just like you're dancing through, heavy clouds for long, long, long periods of time.
I think that's a beautiful way of putting it. And we can use that context flowing through Mars is when you are in a creative cycle, your Mars is being engaged externally. It's how you are initiating in the world. And when you're in a rest cycle, how you use Mars is how you're refilling your own cup, how Mars is directed inwards. And so we can even flow through, if you're willing, through the 12 signs just briefly. Mars throughout the zodiac, how it manifests when you are actively creating and the energy is projected into the world. And then what is your relationship to Mars when you're in a rest cycle? To your point, we don't exist in these compartmentalized little, Lunchables where it's like, no, the whole plate of vegetables is th thrown together. It's just like we're energetically slop a lot of the time. So,
It's beautiful, isn't it? I'm slop, you're slop. We're great.
yeah. Do you mind me asking, what sign is your Mars in?
I'm just looking that up because I was like, hold on, I knew that, but now I'm questioning whether I knew that. This is a reflection of my
Okay.
newness to astrology.
That's
It's
totally
in,
fine.
oh, hold on, what is the planet that is like the M, but we're sorry, the zodiac with like the M with the little arrow off the side. Do you know what
Oh,
I'm talking about?
that's Scorpio.
Scorpio. There you go. My Mars is in Scorpio.
Okay. Yeah, the M with the arrow is Scorpio, and then the M that curves in on itself is Virgo.
Yes,
Yeah,
correct.
so they're easy to get mixed up. Okay, so do you want to start with yours? Why would we
I'd
go in order? We're
love to.
manifestors.
Mix it up. Yeah, I want to go first. Yeah.
Okay. So Mars in Scorpio, when you are in a creative cycle, it doesn't do anything halfway. When you walk into a room, it's like you are locked and loaded. It's the sign of intensity. So you don't do half in, half out, whether it's a relationship or a business. There's an intense focus and a really profound intuition. So your initiation, how you take action, is deeply intuitively informed, and you're rarely ever wrong. And it can actually spook people out sometimes. Not everyone can match your level when you're in it. Your tunnel vision. Is that true?
100%, 100%. In fact, I had a friend say to me once, "What I love most about you is that you're always right. And what I hate most about you is that you're always right." Sorry. Just, I process things so deeply. I'm so aware. I can't. But...
It's almost the Scorpio deals with what is unseen and felt. So when you initiate, you're bringing what's unseen into the light, right? You're creating tools that can help people process their own shadows, their own depths. So it's someone who can traverse back and forth between dark and light. And as such, when you go into rest cycles, you crave solitude. You, that kind of the intensity, it draws on you in a way where I would imagine that you do need a decent amount of alone time when you're in your rest cycle. You might get a bit moody or crabby if you don't get it. There's just like your bandwidth for bullshit or dealing with other people just dramatically decreases when you need to recharge.
Very correct. Very, very accurate. And right, that again, that fusion over to human design, because I'm a 4-6. So my profile archetype is that I am always engaged with other people. I am always relational. I am the walking textbook of the extrovert. I grow through relationships. I love connecting with people. That is meaningful and that is rich and that is purposeful for me to do that. However, when I am in a rest cycle, my capacity for that, my threshold for that reduces significantly. And it really comes down to who am I maintaining out of choice in my most inner circle, right? And that's usually it's my husband, it's my three children, it's maybe a couple of close friends. And then I can widen my relational influence when I come back out into a creative cycle. And so in that way, I don't fit the mold of the classic 4-6s. Especially when I look at like 4-6s that are sacral beings, they don't have the need to do that. Right? And this is, it's one of those, one of many, many, many hundreds of places, I think, where you can look at these two systems as a crossover and say, I am those qualities. However, the flavor that I use it with is this, because this is how it impacts me in my astrology.
And you think about how masculine Mars is, that when it's in a water sign, Scorpio, Pisces, Cancer, you can think of the energy available to you to initiate, to create, to connect as a well, right? That finite energy is just like if you've pulled up all the water in the well that it has to give, and it needs to refill if it's an aquifer or if it's, the groundwater, like thinking of it as you have so much water being the element of wisdom, kindness, intuitive, creative capacity. When you initiate, you give all of those things, and then the well becomes empty, right? And so that's when you have to be much more selective thinking of it. When you have Mars in a water sign, who gets to come and drink from my well? What is my actual capacity? And when has it been drained down to its very last drop? Because that is likely with Mars in a water sign. It's not an infinite resource, particularly as a manifester who experiences rest cycles. But again, that flavor of it not being an infinite resource could come up in any human design type if they've got Mars in a water sign.
Yes, that's incredibly, incredibly true. And I think if people are paying attention to the way we run this business too, as a very manifestor-based business, that's very reflected in the way that the business runs, is that when I am initiating something forward, it's 155% in. There's every resource going into that. And it is exhaustive until it is completely empty. And then I really get immediately very angry when there's any request for anything further from me. And this is why we have a boundary in the business. Like, we don't take content requests. We don't take product requests because I can't, right? I actually can't maintain any of that because when my initiating resource has run out, it's run out. And that makes what I do initiate very powerful, which is beautiful, but it also makes it inconsistent, which is challenging for people to sit with, especially when they're in the consumer seat.
And the word that so often describes Scorpio is powerful, right? So your initiation planet going, When I'm in, I am locked and loaded 110%. I will run circles around you. I will read you to your core. I will give you everything you didn't know you needed. And when my well is dry, do not talk to me. Do not touch me. I will be back, but today is not the day. Like it just, the switch is so radical.
You just described me in one paragraph. That's exactly how I work. It's very unsettling for people. It really is.
But you know what I love in particular about prominent, in this case, what I mean by prominent is any of those personal planets in Scorpio, particularly in women. The world does not always know how to handle Scorpionic women because we have been categorically stripped of our power. So when women show up with placements in the sign that embodies personal power, it can make people uncomfortable. It can enhance the manifestor ability to either really inspire or repel people. That's accentuated by people not always knowing what to do with Scorpionic archetype, where it's like, you know who you are and what you want. You're not apologizing for the air you're breathing and the space you're taking up. For people who do not know how to regulate their own power, it is deeply unsettling. And so I'm sure, I mean, Scorpionic women have gone through assistants and lovers and partners, all these different things, because ultimately they couldn't handle your power. And then when you find those people and you find the right team and you find your person, they love you for it.
And it's it becomes communal, right? That becomes we're all sharing this resource for the greater good, which to me feels like the highest embodiment of being able to use it. This is not just about me, right? This is I'm not just living a little narcissistic journey over here. Like I'm fascinated with myself, but when it comes to actually impacting the world with initiations, it's all for the collective good. It's actually also that we move forward. I assume that's why I came here as a human, really. I didn't just come to observe. I came to interact.
And with it being the sign of transformation, you initiate to provide transformation. Like that is why you do it. It's not from a place of self-serving. It's, I have to retain a sense of personal power so that I can carve out my own path in the world that then allows me to be a vessel for transformation. It is the importance of the I to serve the we and to not create shame around being separate, having needs that require you pull back periodically, but going like, I'm here to initiate transformation, but I'm also, my energy is finite. So that's what I love about, you know, Mars and Scorpio, Mars and water signs is when you really tap into your power reserves as Mars and water, you're unstoppable because you know when you're about to give too much and when you need to pull back and then you can kind of cycle through a little bit more fluidly.
Oh, guys, this is why I love Ocean stuff. Honestly, really need to follow her content. Okay, can we touch on the other zodiacs? What
Yes,
might they look like?
absolutely. Let's stick with water for a moment. So when we're looking at Mars in Cancer, now this is one of the trickier ones because Mars naturally rules Aries, and Aries and Cancer, they have different ways of doing things. So Cancer is the nurturer. We see this as someone who, when you are in a creative cycle with Mars in Cancer, you're going to initiate by wanting to take care of others, wanting to heal, nurture, inspire. These are people who are often teachers, coaches. Anyone who's in a capacity to heal and to provide a safe space and to really make people feel seen and understood and observed. So the important thing about knowing when you're energetically tapped out with Mars in Cancer is that it can quickly become resentful, like the mother who's cooking and doing dishes and laundry and the kids are running through screaming. And it's like Cancer being the mother archetype in astrology. Your breaking point is when you've given everything you have to give, and maybe there could be a lack of gratitude or recognition. It's your responsibility to pull back and recharge and not feel selfish about coming first. That's an interesting thing, right? Mars and Cancer. When it turns inwards and you're in a rest cycle, you are meant to mother your inner child. You are meant to really work on the self-soothing. And then the third, water sign, right, which would be Mars in Pisces. This is to me like the most manifester of the Mars placements, because Pisces does not like picking a direction.
Yes.
It doesn't. It's literally the two fish tied at the tail swimming in a circle. It's like, I've been here before. Wait, where am I? I've seen this tree before. And you're just hiking in a circle in the forest. So when the planet of initiation is in the sign that can't quite make up its mind, you have to be intuitively guided. You have to have permission for every day to look different. And when you're in a cycle of creation, these are deeply spiritual people. These are our thought leaders, our prophets, our curators of the spiritual realm. And then when you're down or when you're resting, it's important that you maintain those spiritual practices and that you walk the walk. That you not get so caught up in being a vessel for others that you stop meditating or you stop drinking water or you stop doing your morning card pull, that you maintain your own spiritual practice while you are also helping others. And we can move to fire since we're doing everything backwards.
Yes.
So, yes. Okay. So, if you think of anyone, and as you're listening to this too, you can even pull up the Mars of your partner, your children, understanding what motivates the people around me as well. Mars and fire as an elemental archetype is Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius. These are the go, go, go in your face. I'm gonna blaze my own path, either stand in my way or get burned or step off to the side because I'm going where I want to go. So Mars and Aries in creative cycles is needs to be making fast progress. These are the people who get 2 weeks of work done in 2 hours. Aries is the ram. So literally think about ramming your way through obstacles, sometimes ramming people down to get where you need to go. But there's something so when you see a Mars and Aries activated, you're like, shit's about to go down. You just need to get out of their way. And on the flip side, Mars and Leo is so different because Leo isn't trying to charge forward. Leo is here to learn how to take up space. So in creative cycles, a Mars and Leo person is going to be more willing to post, to be online, to self-promote, to brand themselves. And then in a rest cycle, they're going to feel perhaps a bit more shy. Imposter syndrome might rear her head. It might feel a little less like you want to be perceived. So the fluctuation for Mars and Leo goes from taking up space, being the brand, and then not wanting to be perceived. So when you're in a creative cycle, if you are Mars and Leo, that's a great time to do things like batch create content for the days where you're not going to want to post and be perceived anyway. Then the third fire sign, Mars and Sagittarius. This is the energy of the facilitator, explorer, teacher. And so there's something that is kind of a constant searching, this constant quest for knowledge, new experiences, and simultaneously is always the teacher and the student. So, how that might translate to creative and rest cycle, you're the teacher when you're creating, and you're the student when you're resting. So when you go through that as Mars and Sagittarius, what am I leading and facilitating? Maybe you're leading a retreat or you're teaching an online workshop. And then when you don't have the energy to be facilitating, then you're doing your own online course. Then you're the student. You're reading your book on the porch. You're, watching YouTube videos for your own enjoyment and curiosity. So noticing that switch, I'm going from the student to the teacher when I switch cycles. That's fire.
That's such a cool
The
rhythm too, that like teacher, student, teacher. That's so beautiful, so balanced.
Yeah, I'm curious anyone listening who's got Mars and Sagittarius, I mean, or any of these fluctuations, hearing it through the perspective of manifestors, it'll be so curious to hear, some examples of when you go back and forth as Mars. Then we've got the air signs, which are Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius. These are the thinkers, the connectors, the intellectuals, the people who center relationships and community and learning and understanding and deconstructing and reassembling thoughts and just kind of one big thought experiment. So these are our teachers, and our writers and our thought leaders. Mars in Gemini initiates by kind of an insatiable curiosity, right? These are the people who've always got 10 irons in the fire. They're writing a book and they've got a Substack and they're teaching workshops and they're they've got maybe 30 pages into 20 different books on their nightstand. So you're the connector. When you're on, you're on. You're bringing people together, you're learning, you're sharing. And then when it's solitude, right, there's more of how are you maintaining connection and community with the people that are important to you, right? Is there anyone you need to call back? Is there anyone that, an email that you've needed to respond to, or a loved one you haven't checked in with in a while? The softer, more feminine Gemini energy is how are you maintaining the outlets of communication that are important to you? Then we have Libra, which is the harmonizer. So Mars and Libra, it's interesting. They're here to add beauty and grace to the world. So when you are initiated, when you are activated, it's always something that you really feel like you're adding an element of the world that hasn't been seen before, that is needed, that allows people to soften. These are usually the designers. These are just people who like really even thought design, right? When I say design, it could be interior design with furniture, or it could literally be redesigning thoughts and coaching people through, deconstructing their own realities. So when I say designer, that's a wide umbrella here. But the thing that also is important and could trigger the rest cycle is it's also the shadow here would be the people pleaser. So Mars and Libra, it's important. Also working in the rest of your human design chart, that giving your power away is not what triggers your rest cycle. But instead, I feel the seesaw tilting and I need to come back and correct course a bit instead of being kind of prompted into rest cycle because of codependency or biting your own tongue so much that you've kind of lost the plot, right? Mars and Libra can be afraid a little bit to initiate because they're worried of upsetting or letting someone down or being a disappointment. And so that can be the edge, is just you're here to add beauty and grace to the world, and you can't get it wrong. So that's a really like just lovely placement, Mars and Libra. Then the final air sign, Mars and Aquarius, thanks for bearing with me here, is Aquarius is the rebel. So when you initiate, you're doing everything differently from everyone else. You are going where no one has gone before. You resist any type of structure, dogma, routine, institution. These are the disruptors. So when you are creating, you are simultaneously meant to be disrupting something. As a result of what you are introducing into the world. And the flip side is that it needs a healthy dose of detachment to recharge. So when you go into a rest cycle with Mars and Aquarius, just letting your loved ones know, as I'm sure they probably already do know, that you have a tendency to go off planet for a while. And like, where did they go? We don't know. But they'll come back. And then they'll remind us of some movement or revolution or liberation happening somewhere. And then they'll get us all jazzed up about something. But then right now they're on their spaceship and they can't be reached. So Mars and Aquarius is just, you have permission to go off planet from time to time. And then finally, we have our Earth signs. These are the creators. These are the energy of accomplishment and success and drive, ambition, building things that last, right? So think the foundation of the house, whereas air would be how you decorate the house, and fire would be what you do in the house, and water are the connections, the people that live under that roof. But the earth is the foundation. So Mars and Taurus are driven by security and stability. When you are initiating, you're doing things that are adding eggs to the nest, right? You are motivated by making money, by being able to provide for your family, by being able to live a comfortably lavish life. And then when you're resting, you need permission to be quote unquote lazy. I think that's one of the worst words that gets thrown at Taurus archetypes is
Agreed.
lazy. And it's ridiculous. It's they are so steadfast that they need permission to take their hand off the wheel sometimes and just watch Netflix for 8 hours straight. It is what it is. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as you have something that inspires you to keep building, to come back to the process of building whenever it feels time. Now, on the flip side, Mars and Virgo is not as motivated by money and success. It's motivated by service. So when you're on and you're in a creative cycle with Mars and Virgo, I have this placement and it drives me nuts sometimes, but you are motivated to be of service, and you know you're in a rest cycle because you don't want to help anybody. Like, I am sick of this. Yes. And you know you're on because you're doing readings, you're taking clients, you're volunteering, helping out at the community garden down the street. I'm like, who needs help and how can I help? And then my rest cycle is like, absolutely not. You're on your own. And so, service is the light switch. The energy goes on and off when you feel motivated to show up in whatever your chosen field of service is. And then it turns off when you need to be the recipient of your own service. So Virgo also rules physical health, getting to bed at a reasonable time, getting enough nutrients in the day. Your rest cycles are ultimately just making sure that you're taking care of yourself. And then finally, Mars in Capricorn. This is the boss bitch entrepreneurial archetype. Mars in Capricorn, they have these really powerful and kind of almost lofty goals, except that they're 100% capable of achieving them. Capricorn wants the best of the best. So when you're initiating, you know you're initiating because of a refusal to settle. Ideally, you're like, you know, these are my terms, take it or leave it. These are the entrepreneurial types. Mars and Capricorn, they resist authority. They don't want to work for anyone else. They detest having a boss or superior of any kind. And so you'll notice Mars and Capricorn people are typically drawn to, having their own business or side hustle of some kind so that they can feel in control. And on the flip side, when they're resting, it's really making sure that your own affairs are in order. Even it can help to think of your life, your home as a business, who's the employee of the month in the family? I'm just kidding. But there's something really important about being able to soften and take off the CEO cap and trust that you're surrounded by people who can handle it so that you don't have to be the boss, the delegator, all the time. So those rest cycles, when you're on in a way that you have a million different ideas for the business and you're channeling courses and programs and you write a book in a week, who knows? And then where can you soften and not have to run the ship? So that's at a glance the on and off energy types of all the signs through Mars.
You know what's so awesome about all of that is that there are so many things throughout, across all of the signs that you could say, oh my gosh, that's so manifestor. And other things that you could say, that is very non-typical for a manifestor to operate that way. In particular, I was thinking about when you were talking, I think it was Gemini, right? Having your finger in so many different pies, having so many different projects going on at once. On the surface, we would say that's a manifesting generator, right? And that's conditioning for a manifestor. You shouldn't be behaving doing that. Not that as a manifestor, you need to stick to one thing at a time, but if you're involved in lots of different things in your work, that's going to drain you. Yeah. But that's not necessarily true for you. And when we get into these kind of blocked ways of learning things and understanding, I think we take the focus away from who am I as an individual? I am whole. I am myself, and these systems, be it astrology or human design or anything else, are giving me potentially some tools, potentially some languages that might kind of illuminate parts of my whole self that I'm able to then love more and have more compassion for. And in doing so, create more expansion, more prosperity, more abundance, more love, all of the beautiful things. But if we kind of, it just keeps reminding me of the phrase like throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? Like if we immediately look at stuff and say, well, that's not me because I'm a manifestor. Manifestors don't do those things. So if I'm behaving in that way, it's got to be because I'm conditioned, because I'm wounded, because whatever, because somebody taught it to me wrong. No, It's just you're complex. You're a complex being, and you're not ever going to fit into the characteristics of one system or one way of viewing yourself. That's so gorgeous. I love that reflection.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm a big believer that if something you hear about your chart, and it could be any method, whether it's human design or astrology, if you hear of a component and it doesn't resonate with you, that's your sign to keep digging. That's your sign that there is nuance that you are perhaps just not made aware of yet in that chart or in that system. Because it's been my experience time and time again that people just have to keep digging. That there's it just especially in the nature of the way that I like to think of the birth chart in astrology, right? And this is traverses frameworks. Your soul signed up for this blueprint, and there is a divinity to it, to trusting your timing, to trusting all of the different ingredients that go into the cake. That if you really trust the recipe, you still have to learn how to make it, right? But let's just start with a general trust in the recipe. And then you want to know what that flavor is. Is it nutmeg? Is it paprika? They're the same color on the outside of the jar, but they have very different flavors.
Yes.
It's just the process is just figuring out like where are these flavors coming from? Again, not just writing off the whole recipe.
Trust the process. How very Piscean, right? Just trust
Yes.
the process. What's the process? We don't know what the process is. We don't know how it's happening or when it's happening or what the timeline is, but we're trusting it. We're trusting it. We are in
That is one thing we can do.
it. Learning it every day as a Piscean. When we look at Mars in human design, I think our natural tendency is to say, well, when astrology blends into human design, it's still the same. It's just like, here's a chunk of astrology, boom, inserted into human design. But actually, it's quite different because we're taking astrology and we're using the language of human design in application over it. So in particular in human design, the greatest aspect of astrology is of course looking at our planets. So we've got those gate placements under our conscious and our unconscious planets. And I love focusing on Mars in those aspects because in the human design language, when we're looking at the two gate placements that you will have under Mars, you'll have a conscious Mars gate and an unconscious Mars gate. Right off the bat, we're seeing this is your area of power. Yes, of course, this is your area of work too, right? Because we're talking about that Mars energy. But the gate placement that you have is going to tell us how you uniquely express that energy, right? So, for example, just choked on my own words. For example, if you had maybe a gate one placement under your Mars, particularly if it's under your conscious Mars, gate one is the gate of creative self-expression, right? It's the divine masculine gate in human design. It's the first in all of the 64 gates. So it's the creative expression of self. I bring myself to the world in creative form. If you have that under your Mars, it's likely that you are going to be some sort of creator, whether that is like a solid construct creator, like a conceptual creator, somebody who is into interior design, graphic design, all of these things, like landscaping, architecture, all of that, or whether that is in an energetic design, as you touched on before, being a creator that can reshape minds, that can reshape energetic process. So human design kind of approaches this Mars energy from, let's give you a layer where we can understand your individualization within this energy. And I'm fascinated. I mean, I would have to study thousands and thousands of cross-connected charts to know this. But I'm always endlessly curious as to whether those things line up. So if we were talking about, here are your two gates that you've got in your Mars in human design, is that actually the same set of attributes as your zodiac placement?
And I would postulate that does it have to be the same, or is it adding flavor to how you use your Mars, right? So for me, my two gates for my Mars in Virgo, which is I initiate to be of service, and to also take care of my physical health so that I am not drained as a vessel for service, right? So I've got gate six, right? Creating closeness with others. Like that's how I'm of service. I'm in one-on-one readings. I'm making people feel seen. The ability to create that closeness is how I choose to be of service as a Mars in Virgo. And then on the flip side, my, I guess, unconscious would be, no, conscious would be 46, love of physical self and its power. So the love of physical self is me taking care of my health so that I can stay of service by being close to others. And I can't maintain that closeness if I do not love my physical self. So those are two ways that me as Mars and Virgo, the two gates I have for Mars, are activated and used.
Yeah, it's almost like it's giving you a little manual, right? Here are two habits that you can use. Here are two tools, two routines, two practices. These are the things that you can use to better serve the way that energy wants to express from you.
Exactly.
Right?
What are your Mars gates in your human
My
design chart?
conscious Mars gate is 44, which is a gate of like it's got a lot of different names, but essentially it's down to like energetic awareness. So the 44 is a splenic gate. It's based in the spleen, and it says, I can identify the undercurrent energy of any gathering of people, right? And I can pick that out and pull that out, and I can transform it. It's a gate of resources. It always wants to resource change. Like something's funky, let's address it. Let's get add a resource to it to make it better. Which of course can be abrasive to people who do not want to be in awareness of the energetic pattern. And so there's learning this wisdom dance as a manifestor around, it's not always the wisest thing to just charge ahead and initiate in that. And I don't always have the resources within myself to be initiating that for everyone else, because when I've used all my resources up, my resources are used up. Yeah. And then I don't want to see your patterns. I'm not interested in your patterns when I'm in my rest cycle. Whereas my unconscious Mars is in gate 48. And gate 48 is the gate of depth, also heavily about resourcing. But it says, I want to go below the surface level. I'm not interested in what everyone else is saying or what we've already learned. I want to take these big topics and I want to go so deeply in them until we hit the bottom of it. And then I want to resource from there. Also a splenic gate, right? So for me, a lot of my work is about resourcing. It's creating resources for people to use that are not dependent on being in my one-on-one energy, because I can't maintain that serving and that sharing of energy. Hence why I do, broad scope, like come into programs, come into pre-recorded things, get access to all of these resources this way. There's a resource for everything. Any part of your manifested energy, there is a resource for it. We've got it available.
And I think again, considering the gates of Mars and how astrology influences human design, as of course, these gates are going to give you the tools on how to tap into said planet in astrology, right? These tools, they don't exist in a vacuum. You have Mars in Scorpio. Scorpio is known for being able to go deeper than any other sign, and that is gate 48. The ability to literally go into the center of something, to really get through to all the hidden layers. Scorpio is a bullshit detector. Scorpio traverses the darkness, the shadows, and facilitates the deepest transformation known to the human experience. That is gate 48. How you activate Mars in Scorpio is through that and doing that. And then on the flip side, right, gate 44, there's like this nothing gets by you, right? There's this alertness, would you say, to gate 44? And again, Mars in a water sign is so intuitively perceptive that it gives you the ability to like really. You just nothing gets by you. And that combined with your ability to go super deep, we could astrologically just describe that as Mars and Scorpio. But the beauty of the human design gates is it's like, here are the ways that you channel Mars and Scorpio specifically.
I love
It's
that
really
word
cool.
channel. Yeah, it is really cool. It's like the funnel, bringing that funnel down and down and down into to, thinner trajectories, I guess.
Yeah.
And even when we add gene keys in, which so many people in human design are also in gene keys, I'm one of those people also certified in gene keys. And what I love about gene keys is that it's another big chunky layer down again. It is another aspect of detail and of specificity and application. And when we view Mars, particularly the unconscious Mars in your gene keys, so it's going to be the same gate that's in your unconscious Mars in your human design, but we just put it in the gene key system. In gene keys, this is referring to your vocation. This is the work that you are here not only to do, it's the work that you are always doing. This is the outworking of your vocation in life. So, regardless of what career you're in, what business you're in, what situation you're in, this is how you work. This is how you kind of vocationally share yourself with the world. This is your skill set. We refer to it as the zone of genius in gene keys. This is the thing that you just can do anywhere. You can just nail it wherever you go, but especially in a work setting. But what gene keys provides us with are also these aspects of shadow. So gene keys says, here's for Mars in particular, unconscious Mars, here's your zone of genius. This is your vocation. This is almost like your mission in the world. You're always going to work with this as a kind of neon light in the sky skill set. But this is also your area of core wounding. This is your deepest shadow, right? That oppositional force of Mars, as big as you go, that is also as deep as you go. And so we have these two big layers in gene keys, in unconscious Mars. And that's why I love it, because there's so much richness and so much depth to it. And for me, as a gate 48 placement in there, that means that, yeah, the work that I'm here to do is deep. It's always going to be about depth. It's always going to be about creating resources at the level of depth that most other people cannot go to. So I can approach even something like teaching human design, teaching about manifestors in human design, and teach it at a depth that nobody else can do that at. But my shadow on that is the fear of inadequacy. That in fact, everything about me, not just my work, but everything about me is inadequate. And that's thematically my wound throughout life. And so I think that gene keys, if for people who want to go further down into this Mars area, gene keys is a cool place to look at, because it's going to show you, here's the spectrum of all of this, right? Yes, you've got these ways that you can utilize this Mars energy. Here's also what you're going to need to work on as part of that. Did you say your unconscious Mars was gate six? Is that right?
The unconscious is on the left, no, the right.
Unconscious is the red. So it's probably going to be down your left-hand side when you're looking at your chart.
Mine would be gate six.
Yeah, so emotional gate. As you were saying before, that's this connection to closeness with people, because gate six is all about wanting to have that kind of intimate conversion with people. I want to be of service to you. You be of service to me. It's emotionally driven. The point of connection with people is emotional transformation. That's why we're doing it. However, the shadow aspect on that is friction. That to create transformation, it often takes this close up level of friction, right? Rubbing against each other. And that can be expressed in really volatile ways, right? That can be conflict, it can be confrontation. But when you add that to the manifestor energy, that means your wounding is likely around feeling like you are disconnected from your relationships when people don't receive your energy immediately, right? Especially with that five, the heretic, like, oh, I delivered a truth to you and you weren't quite ready to receive that. And now there's a tension between us. Now there's an awkwardness between us, and that fractures some of our closeness for the time being. Really, that friction on the shadow is meant to be used for you, right? When I have friction within myself, when I have a tension within myself, I won't ignore it. I'll emotionally dive into that. pull that apart, understand what am I feeling tension? What am I pulling at here? Why is there friction within myself? Why don't I feel correct? And using the emotional process that you have as an emotional authority to shift that, to move that back out. And how can I develop more closeness with myself, serve myself more, and as an outcome of that, also have closeness with other people and also serve them. But I love how many just not necessarily just similarities, but like it's a weaving. It's a weaving of stories. It's like, yeah, there are elements that are going to cross over through all of these things. And they're all you. They're all correctly you. Mm-hmm. Which one helps you get further down into that deep well of who you are right now in that aspect?
Yeah. And that's a, you know, personal decision. It's not, I think the big thing is just whatever vessel, whatever resource resonates with you, great. Use that. Use them both. Use them all. Use none. But however you go into your own work, that's the right answer.
How would you suggest people take maybe one step into working with their Mars in astrology and their natal chart? Like, what's kind of the easiest access? I want to start experimenting with this. What can I do?
I would say you can look up attributes of the sign that your Mars is in. And because it is a planet that is energizing, pick one of those qualities or hobbies that are associated with that sign that elicit some type of excitement or like, I would like to do that. And in just one small way on a daily basis, practice some attribute, some outlet that aligns with the sign of your Mars. So for me, with Virgo being very routine oriented, you know, I make my bed every morning. Like, it's a non-negotiable. It doesn't matter if the rest of my day is a complete slop or I don't get anything done or whatever the case may be, I know at least I made my bed. So honoring my Mars initiation, if the only thing I initiate that day is making my bed, I will still have that as a grounding cord, grounding being important to an Earth Mars. So just looking up the qualities of the sign your Mars is in, maybe referencing it to the Mars gates in your human design chart and going, since this is my initiator energy, how can I do a little bit of this every day?
You know, I think a lot of manifestors struggle with the idea of placing some kind of rule or expectation on ourselves because we're so resistant to rules from other people. And I think that we unconsciously apply that to ourselves and say, well, like, oh, I hate putting myself into like an exercise regime or a daily routine or things that I expect myself to do day after day, whether it's whatever, like an eating plan or a, you know, spiritual relationship practice or whatever, because, oh, then I'm just following rules. As a manifestor, when you create rules for yourself, when it is not rules that are imposed by other people, these are rules that don't feel like rules. They feel like they become a ground that you can stand on. And that is so powerful for a manifestor. That's so expansive. When we can understand ourselves enough to say, this is what works for me, even if it's seasonal, even if it's just in this season, this is what works for me. And so I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it every day until I feel like it doesn't serve me anymore, until I feel like I need to move into a different season. But when we have a framework that we can operate in, it actually doesn't restrict us. It does the opposite. It gives us walls to bounce against and a ground to push off. And we find that we go higher and wider and louder and bigger because we're not expending all of our energy on just like continually questioning those basic things. Oh, well, like, what's my routine today? And am I, you know, stuff like, am I hungry? Am I not hungry? How is my body feeling? Did I get enough sleep? Was it the correct type of sleep for me? How am I relating to people? Where do I spend my time? These are, they're human needs. You're in a human meat suit. These things are going to need to be taken care of. And the more we can put them in place in a way that feels correct for us as individuals, and then sort of forget about them, the more your energy will go on to other things, like your creative urges, you know, like the areas that you want to initiate in, like the areas that you want to heal. And so I love that you make that suggestion. Pick a thing. Pick a thing that applies correctly to you and just do it. Just
Yeah.
do it. Right? We don't have to fight everything all the time.
No. And it just comes back to how are you starting the car every day so that you know it works when you have a longer destination in mind? When you go back into a creative cycle and you need to get in that car, you need to be a vessel, but you've started it for 5 minutes a day for the last month or so. So you know it still runs, right? As opposed to just like completely abandoning all routine, all self-care. And then you have this urge that you as a vessel maybe aren't equipped to honor because you've just, you know. So figuring out what is my equivalent of starting the car every day in the middle of a snowstorm so that when the sun comes back out and I'm ready to travel a distance, it still works. It's that simple, really.
Oh God, that's so good. The way you distill that is just, it's so neat. It's so perfect. Like a package with a little bow on it, just ready for us to open. It's so nice. So I know that lately you've been doing a lot of work. Is it's on Substack, right? You've been giving people access to kind of like, I guess like written teaching around astrology through Substack. Am I getting that correct?
Yeah, so I've really fallen in love with Substack lately. So, on my free tier, I do new and full moon horoscopes every month that anyone can access. And then for $5 a month, I also add educational resources if you want to learn astrology in a bite-sized way from one manifestor brain to another. There's no particular order to what I post about, but it's these bite-sized topics that you can dive into for 10, 20 minutes and then put down and come back to another day. So that's one of the ways I'm showing up right now. And yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
How do you love to work with people? You mentioned before that you do one-on-one readings. Is that something that you come out and do kind of seasonally and then you disappear for a while and then you come and do again? Or are you fairly open to consistently doing readings?
Yeah, so I, the way that I've kind of, you know, as we all know, we can't schedule rest cycles, but one of the ways I attempt to is I'll do readings about 2 to 3 days a week. And then the other days, I have more freedom and flexibility. So that's how I've been able to stay consistent because that closeness with others is, you know, my Mars gate. It is how I, you know, want to be of service. So you can book a reading with me. I love going deep one-on-one. And just my goal is always that you get out of it what you need to hear, what is the most of service to you at this point in your life. So if there is any part of it that's ever felt sticky or uncertain, we find those answers together. It's very fun. And I'm Witchy Kid on Instagram. So, you know, there's so many different capacities, but whether it's a reading or a blog post, I want to make the stars more translatable.
So delicious, delicious. So much for being here and just sharing you. That's all. Just sharing your you-ness. It's so beautiful to be able to interact with somebody who is so openly authentic in their expression, not just in their work. I think we get very good at creating, you know, this is my tone and this is my presentation and these are the things that I speak on. And we do, we're especially as manifestors, we're masters of our work. But it's really just gorgeous to be around somebody who has so much of themselves infused in their work and expresses that just so, I was going to say really, really authentically. It's a pleasure. It's a real pleasure to be able to experience your energy while we've been recording this. So thank you for being here.
I'm so grateful and honored, and to be your first astrologer, that's so wild to me. So, I don't take that lightly. I really deeply appreciate your trust in me coming on and adding this perspective. And you're such a delight to be around as well. I've had so much fun. Thank you.
Nobody else can ever take the first place of the first astrologer. And I'm very, very proud to have given it to a manifestor. Can I just say?
That makes me so happy.
Right? I think it's correct that first place was taken by a manifestor. Now all the other dominoes may fall in line. We will put all of Ocean's information in the show notes. Of course, everything will be in there. But I first and foremost, just go and follow the Witchy Kid on Instagram. It's so fun the way that she expresses everything and so relatable. And you'll find yourself hooked to each new bit of content, right? Like, oh, I've got to jump to the comments and find, which house this is in for me. And that's telling me about myself. So definitely go and give her a follow. If you're new to astrology, I found Ocean stuff is really just usable. And if you're well versed in astrology, I know you astrologers love to open yourself up to different ways of viewing the system. So it will meet you there as well. But thank you for being here, Ocean. It's been an absolute delight. Thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with us today in another episode of the Hunting for Purpose podcast. We so enjoy having you here, and whether you are listening to my insights or the wisdom of one of our other incredibly talented manifestor specialists, we really truly hope that you have taken away power, transformation, and wisdom about your own manifestor magnificence. Before you go and switch off, we would be so humbly grateful if you could take the time to either leave a podcast review right on the platform that you're listening to, or if you feel like it, please do a share across your social media. We love to hear how each of the episodes is impacting you, and we love to provide an opportunity for you to inform us via social media. So please share a story or a post about this episode and tag us at The Manifestor Community. Until next time, please, manifestors, keep hunting for purpose.